Yes, indeed. Playing for change, everyday people. I've got a whole bunch of everyday people right here, right now. We've got the Restorative Resources crew, and I'm going to actually let everybody introduce themselves. We've got people who are in official capacities, and we've got people who are in official drumming capacity. So why don't we start off with a little intros, and Mick, why don't you start?
Hey, everybody. My name is Mick Gardner, and I'm the Executive Director of Restorative Resources. And yes, thanks for having us in tonight. It's a rainy night, and, you know, we just made ourselves through the rain and everything, and here we are.
And here you are.
You our joy.
All the way into Sebastopol. Where did you all come from?
Well, I came from Santa Rosa.
Just down the road?
Yes.
And?
Hello, everybody. My name is Chad Bola, and I am the Accountability Circles leader, amongst many other things, at Restorative Resources, and I'm really happy to be here. I think this is a really important time to try to help people understand just exactly what restorative justice is.
Absolutely. In fact, I've known about it, but I've not known about it in the way I know today. I have been watching videos and YouTube, whatever I could find since the last couple of days, and I encourage everybody to just do a little search and see what you can find on both Restorative Resources and Restorative Justice, because we have tried other ways for so long in education of punishing people rather than listening to people. And if you keep doing the same thing over and over and you don't get results, I believe that's the definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. So, Dennis, tell us who you are. Get kind of close to the mic. There you go.
Good evening. My name is Dennis Bonet, and I'm here with few Windsor Bloco participants, some of our youth drummers, and we're very happy, thrilled actually, that we're entering into a collaboration with Restorative Resources, and we're really looking forward to the opportunities that will present itself, because as we all know, the drums are just a healing power.
And we need some healing. And I have been saying, unfortunately, for weeks now, it's you folks, the young people, who are going to lead us out of this mess. We need to pay attention to the young people. The old people, including me, we have messed things up grandly. And it is time to listen to the voices of the young people who don't put up with a lot of BS. They don't put up with lies. They don't put up with things that are harmful. They're people who are looking for healing, and they are our leaders. So I would really appreciate, Mick, if you could tell us just a little bit about Restorative Resources and how you came to be in it. And
sure.
Talk
so
away.
In my past, I've been doing restorative justice healing circles through the criminal justice system, right in the front line of working with populations that are looking for accountability and healing. And in my travels in that direction, I found that restorative justice was that method for an individual to begin to start creating some form of healing, not only for themselves, but also for their family and communities. That's important. That's a huge important.
Right, because it has to ripple out from inside each of us to make any kind of an impact any further.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then the way that I got up here to Restorative Resources was the fact that I believe in the whole practice of not only restorative justice, but also restorative practices, yeah, which also dwells into the area of trauma and begin to start healing from trauma. So you kind of like feel like everyone in our society has some point of trauma within themselves. So that makes this now inclusive to everyone. It's just not just one particular target audience. We do specialize in working with youth. Our work is extremely directed towards the elementary school kids, kids in the juvenile justice system that Chad works with, and I'll let him say a little bit about that.
Okay. Chad, talk a little bit about your work with Restorative Resources, please.
Sure. Before I kind of share what I do, I think it's really important when we're having these conversations about restorative justice to first and foremost note that we're calling it restorative justice, but it's actually a philosophy based on indigenous wisdom. It's been around for a long time. And they perhaps didn't call it restorative justice, but this is the way communities have solved issues of harm and done healing since time beginning.
And so much of it has had to do with listening.
Exactly. So in other words, it's I think the best way to explain it that I've found is well, first of all, we're all familiar with the criminal justice system. Three questions are asked. What law was broken, or what rule if you're out of school? Who broke it, and how do we consequence or punish that person? So the idea being, let's hurt somebody who hurt somebody to teach people that hurting people is wrong.
And so then we, yeah, and
it's
then
really
we
nonsensical.
Well, and then it goes even further that we have a death penalty to kill people who have killed people.
Exactly. So
yeah, and I want to go back to the young people. Young people know when something doesn't sound right, mm-hmm. and so let's hear about your experience.
So while criminal justice is based on those three questions, restorative justice requires a lot more time. It requires a lot more listening, and the focus is not on laws or rules. The focus is on relationships.
Yes.
So, in other words, at the core of restorative justice is the idea of intersectionality, the idea of interdependence as opposed to independence.
Amen.
So we need each other. And so that's kind of how I define justice for our youth is justice is when you're free from oppression. Justice is when your needs are being met. And when we live in such an unequal society, it doesn't, it's, there's no justice when we're just handing out these consequences without listening to the story behind or paying attention to the right. context.
And so many people have not been heard mm-hmm. in their lives. So many people have been stuffing their stories because for some reason it wasn't a safe place mm-hmm. to share them. I'd like to know, how did the Windsor Bloco get involved, Dennis, if you wouldn't mind giving us a few words?
Well, I think the connection here is with the fact that for all these years that Bloco has been working with youth in our community, that our mission is to give them a voice, because it's like they hear it all day long from their parents, from their teachers, but how do they feel? And we've just seen a perfect example of that at the shooting that happened. Those young people are articulate and empowered and knowledgeable. They, at this moment, have a voice, but our youth don't normally have that opportunity. So there's something beautiful and powerful when we bring smiling young brown faces to different locations and they feel part of the community because they get that positive reinforcement from performing. And it makes them feel empowered that they're making a statement, but also that they're getting the respect of the community and of their peers, bringing art, music, and today we don't have any dancers, of course, but we also have a dance component in Bloco. So it's really a melding of bringing art and activism together, because yes. it's our opportunity to share how we feel about things, because we're not officially connected to the school system, mm-hmm. which frowns on different and varying opinions. But then we're not speaking the truth if we don't share with our kids what's going on. And so it's a family type of environment, and we're glad to be here.
Well, it's great to welcome you. Yeah, Mick.
Yeah, so I just want to add that the whole process of playing drums is a very strong healing process
yes.
as well. So I come from a background of doing drumming with another group in the Bay Area.
Patala
San Francisco. What's up?
And so, and you all can go on their website, by the way, and you can hear some stuff. They're a pretty amazing group. So,
yes.
Batala.
Yes.
Batala.
Yes, Batala, and then sanfrancisco.com. It's a really great group. And so when I moved here, I still had my passion of doing drumming. I still wanted to some way or another be involved in drumming. And it just came upon me that Windsor Bloco was here in the neighborhood. And I'm now go out, myself and Chad go out, and we do rehearsals with the youth. So it's kind of like now a generational process of doing the drumming. Yes. We can be mentors as adults, but we also need to listen to the kids.
And we can learn from them.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering if there's a short piece we could have right now so that these young people with their drumsticks and their drums can do something that they do so well. Do we have a piece that's like a 5 or 6 minute or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. And we have here leading the group, Martin Herrera, who is a student at Sonoma State University.
Martin, come on over here a second. I hear that you're a leader. So I want to, in just a second, I want to hear from Martin.
This is part of what we do. We bring up the youth so that they have ownership to the music and to what our mission is.
Great. So, Martin, welcome to Caos Radio.
Hi.
And I wonder if you wouldn't mind giving a few words of your personal experience with this and then introduce what we're going to hear next.
For sure, yeah. So my name is Martin Herrera Pazmiño. I'm originally from San Francisco, born and raised in La Misión. And I got involved with Windsor Bloco through a sister organization called Loco Bloco, which is a nonprofit in La Misión, the Mission District of San Francisco. And I grew through that program. I I was a youth in the program myself. And through my experiences there, I was taught how to be a leader, how to lead the bateria, how to teach. And I've been able to pass down that knowledge while I've been up here. I'm currently a Sonoma State student. I'm a fourth year sociology major, Chicano Latino studies minor.
Excellent.
Hopefully double major soon. And basically what we do with the drum is we take all of our energy and we put it into this type of form of artistic expression. And for right now for you guys, we have a little bit of a couple tunes, some classics, a slow samba reggae from Brazil, and also our little our own form of samba reggae as well.
Thank you. All right. We ready to get a little bloco en marcha? ¿Ya? ¿Listos? Vamos, pues. Windsor Bloco. Thank you. And that was amazing energy. Thank you. I'm telling you, the young people are the ones who are leading this parade into peace, into justice, into compassion, humanity, and understanding. Thank you. You want to tell us something, Chad? You got
Sure. Sure. I want to respond to that, though, that yes, no, young people are leading the way, and that also taps into that indigenous wisdom, the whole seven generations down the line. So I just want to remind us all that if we're doing restorative justice, we also need to be paying attention to our indigenous brothers and sisters, and how are we helping them overcome the harms that have been committed against them for 500 years.
And more.
So, yeah. I want to share with everybody that if you liked what you just heard, then I recommend that you come out and march with us on Monday for the Day of Reform. This is in response to the attack on DACA students and Dreamers and immigrants in general. And when I say immigrants, we all know that we're talking about specific immigrants. We're not talking about someone that came over from Ireland and overstayed his visa because he found a girlfriend here. We're talking about immigrants that are coming from the south of the border that have been experiencing heavy racism. So come and show your support and solidarity and march with us as we're playing these drums on Monday at noon, starting at the JC, marching downtown to the federal building on Sonoma Avenue, I believe.
D Street in Sonoma.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chad. I want to thank everybody. We're going to continue this during Tommy's Holiday Camp, during Arnaldo's program. And I'm going to say good night for more from Windsor Bloco and from Mick and from Chad and from Dennis, with Arnaldo being your host, and talking more about the whole philosophy of restorative resources, restorative justice. The word restore, to bring it back. You know, it's not just enough to mess up and fess up. You got to make it right. And that's what we need to do. Be kind, be loving. It starts with each of us. And don't forget the mom we all share, Mother Earth.
Oh, welcome, everybody. This is Arnaldo, your host of Tommy's Holiday Camp, every Friday night from 7 till 9 p.m. And thank you so much, Laura, for your another amazing living room show. It really is. Everyone's in the living room tonight, and yes.
It's amazing how the size of the living room just sort of happens with as many people are in here, right?
Yeah, it's expandable, like the Doctor Who's TARDIS, actually. There's a.
I think it's expandable walls. I can see them kind of bowing out, but we've got quite a group, but they're even bigger than we think, because their music is huge.
Yes. What an amazing, thank you, Laura, so much. And what an amazing combination, restorative resources and Windsor Bloco. It's, wow, we'll need to know more about that combination, I think. Let's just, okay, well, we're back here now in the studio. Real stuff happening on. Mick and Chad is sitting here, and we've got Dennis, and Martine is ready with Windsor Bloco. And, well, tell me, what is the... just to explain what restorative justice is in terms of when people actually sit down and do it. What is the process of going through it?
Okay, thank you. That's a great question. And that's actually something that I spend a lot of time doing, is explaining and defining restorative justice. So how it works in our agency, and my piece in particular, is young people are referred to our accountability circle program. And what that means is that young person committed some sort of harm in the community. They hurt somebody. An example, maybe they might have stole from a retail store. They might have, had a really negative kind of violent interaction, verbally violent interaction with a teacher. Someone was harmed. Someone was impacted in a negative way. So as opposed to expelling or suspending them, they're given the opportunity to go through a restorative justice program. And what that means is the focus is taken off of the rule being broken, and the focus is instead put on the relationships that have been harmed and the need to repair those relationships or strengthen those relationships, if you will. And so So we provide the space and facilitate a circle conversation where we bring those impacted parties together to sit with that young person and have an honest conversation about what happened, let everybody have the opportunity to share how they were personally impacted, and collectively come up with a plan to make things right.
And so everyone's face-to-face,
Everyone is face-to-face. Everyone hears each other. And as opposed to the criminal justice system where the state kind of dictates what the consequence is, this is a collective conversation where everyone together decides what is needed to make things right. So in other words, if you were the harmed person and we hear your voice, that all you really need is, you know, all you really need is an authentic apology and perhaps a, you know, someone to come and help you in your garden one day or something. That might be the consequence, if you will. And so that's just one example of what could happen. So, but basically,
but it takes it out of the legal stream.
It takes it out of the legal stream. We still do work within the legal stream. Some of our referrals are referred by the probation department, juvenile justice. And so they're given the diversion option. So as opposed to being on probation, they can go through this program and have a restorative conference where they sit with the impacted parties. And then the idea is everyone, when you're in a circle like that, everyone holds each other accountable. So it's not one person carrying all the weight. Everyone is working together to hold that person accountable and to hold each other accountable. And then you can have this whole team that helps that young person be successful in completing their plan and making amends to those that were harmed. That's it in a nutshell.
Right.
Beautiful. So, hi, everybody. Yeah. So what we do in addition to that, and my role as executive director, is to expand the notoriety of restorative resources. We do excellent work, not only the accountability circles that Chad is talking about, but we also do other forms of healing and allowing people to have a voice in the situation. So my task is to go out and develop relationships with other entities to promote the name of restorative resources in our community, as well as expand it beyond our community. Again, as I mentioned in the earlier segment, everyone can benefit from this process. It's just not one target audience, but it's inclusive of everyone. And so that's one of the reasons why we're in attempting to collaborate with Windsor Bloco, because it's still within the realm of drumming. It's still in the context of healing. And as a result of that, it's a perfect fit for our organization. Our kids that go through the accountability circles, now they can also participate in another form of healing and continue that process. Okay. So,
and with people who understand them.
Yes,
in
absolutely.
The process.
So let me have Dennis say something.
And in the years past, we've had at least two of our youth who ran into issues with the law or, you know, the community, and they've been part of our program. And speaking to them, they recommended restorative resources, and Chad in particular, very highly. And to me, that was important because we provide a mentoring opportunity, which we now feel we can expand significantly and bring to the Santa Rosa area instead of just limiting our potential outreach to Windsor, which is a nice and positive community. But the bigger picture and being involved in the Santa Rosa community is something that's really exciting.
Right. Exactly. It seems like it can be replicated, something like that. Well, thank you. We need to get these guys drumming, I think. So, Martin, what have you got up ready for us on this one?
What's up, y'all? So, in case you missed it, I'm Martin Herrera Pazmiño. I'm the musical director for Windsor Bloco. I have here with me in the studio some drummers. We got Carlos on the chimbao, Melina on the ones and twos, Mauricio on the middle, Daniel on the hepanique, and Jess on the snare. And I'm playing the chimbao as well. And for now, we're going to be playing a very spiritual rhythm called Isei Sha. that we use a lot for processions, and we'll be playing definitely on Monday. And after that, we'll get a little funky with some funk.
Okay, well, thank you. Windsor Bloco.
Wow. I hope you radio folks out there heard and feel the energy from this as well, because it's really charged up in here.
Oh, amazing. Wow. I don't know how it's coming across out there, but wish you're all in here, so I could say. A question. Obviously, you don't work in a vacuum. How do you work with, you know, the legal system and the police and politicians? How does that work?
So a lot, as you can imagine, a lot of the youth that we do work with, and not just youth, as Mick was mentioning earlier, go through the criminal justice system and are on probation or have been on probation, or have ankle monitors and things like that. So we make an effort as much as possible to include folks from the criminal justice system, from within the criminal justice system. I'm talking about probation officers, police officers, lawyers. They're always invited and included in our circle conversations, with the same expectations that we have of the youth, for them to also hold themselves accountable and to be their authentic selves. And a lot of times where this gets challenging is these are people who hold power positions. And if you're not in the criminal justice system or working for the criminal justice system and you're outside of it, like a lot of our youth are, then you might be intimidated by these people in power. So it makes it more challenging and tricky. So that's why we ask, when we're working with folks in probation or police officers, we ask them to sometimes not wear their uniforms to the circle, or, you know, it gets challenging. We also do work a lot with people in power positions within the school districts, principals, superintendents, whatnot. And what we're asking for anyone that sits in circle is to step out of their position of authority and get down to just being a human. So status doesn't really count in that area. We want to make sure that we're all treating each other as equal human beings in that space. So it is tricky, though, to answer your question, just because we live in this very unbalanced world with where there's really extreme power imbalances.
Right.
And to me, that's the context that a lot of these behaviors happen in, due to that power imbalance.
Exactly.
So it's important at the same time to develop relationships with all those entities. And in that capacity, we invite those entities to be trained so that they understand the process and the outcome associated with the circle. And so in my role, that's what I do, is go out and meet these different entities and introduce the concept of restorative justice, restorative practices, but at the same time, like I said, invite them to come in and be trained as well, or their whole body of staff to be trained.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's, as you were saying, that power balance. Wow, that is powerful. Just thinking about everyone in that same room like
right.
that. Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of folks that consider themselves restorative justice practitioners or doing this kind of work, they tend to compartmentalize restorative justice from social justice or racial justice or climate justice or gender justice. But there's an intersection. And and we're talking about, we need to always come back to remembering that there's a context in which all of these harms are being caused. In other words, where are our youth learning some of these behaviors? You know, and how willing are they going to be to hold themselves accountable if they don't see folks in positions of power holding themselves accountable?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very true. Dennis?
What I think I wanted to add is, and this one's kind of going to Chad and Mick, are we going to invite some of these cops and attorneys to drum with us, you know, to be right there next to us and maybe bang their fingers and do a little sweating and feel the beat, you know? And it's just such an equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
In the past, when we've been very strong and had a multi-generational drum and dance ensemble, the beauty of it was that everybody kind of comes to one level of human understanding. And it's the music and the art that binds us together. So I'm looking forward to the future. We'll get Basurto
Olivares.
Yeah, Ernesto Olivares, who's always been very friendly, but I'd sure like to see him pick up a surdo.
So yes, it's with our attention as we adapt Windsor Bloco under our umbrella of restorative resources that, yes, we would like to extend the invitation even to our listening audience to come and join us. You know, the benefit of utilizing this process of drumming is so healthy and healing. So we certainly invite you to come. Can I mention our website?
Absolutely.
It's www.restorativeresources.org. And within that website, I would direct you to our volunteer opportunities. We're always looking for volunteers to be circle keepers, as well as support other capacities of the organization. And then we also have a donations click as well. And with that donation link, you can pledge to donate to our organization and help us to expand this service to the greater community.
Beautiful. And does Windsor Bloco have a website and address?
Yes.
Sorry.
We currently do, but this project is going to be morphing and developing to be incorporated into the greater restorative resources picture. So we're very proud to be able to be in a position to help bring our youth to their beginning of a new bloco, we call it, so that when we invite other young people and older people to join us, we'll have like a framework. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, learning these rhythms and instruments can take a couple of 2-3 years, but we're fast-tracking it.
Okay.
You know, and it gives us great pleasure, and it's just an organic development. Yeah. And so these youth in particular are the ones that we feel will probably be coming with us to Santa Rosa on maybe a twice-a-week basis and be the structure behind the music, while we'll also be bringing Martin and maybe another teacher to keep pumping it up.
Indeed. Wonderful. Great success. We really wish you. And, we'd love to hear some more. Martin, have you got something else to throw at us?
Yeah, we have one more little tune for the people who are just tuning in. We're going to come back at you with some samba reggae. We call this one Raiders because it was originally designed to be performed at the Raiders halftime show a few years back, and it's been adapted since then. But, yeah, enjoy.
Lovely.
So while they're getting set up, I'll give you Windsor Bloco's website, which is www.windsorbloco.org. Right on. We'll be right back.
Get your Friday started.
Wow, winds are bloco. Wow.
Whew. I know.
Need to catch my breath there. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us such wonderful music. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And please let us know when the when and where the event is on Monday.
Okay, so this coming Monday, folks will be meeting at the Santa Rosa JC and marching downtown to Courthouse Square. And this is a march for comprehensive immigration reform, but it's more than that. It's, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of our immigrant communities are living with a new level of fear. Mm-hmm. There's that fear has been there, but there's a new level of fear with the current administration. And so if you care about our young people, and if you care about your neighbors, and if you care about people in general, then come march with us, and you can get to hear this drumming in the street, which is where it's at its best when we're playing in the street. So please come join us 12 noon at the Santa Rosa JC. We'll be marching down Mendocino Avenue to Courthouse Square.
Well, thank you. And Mick and Chad for coming in from restorativeresources.org. If you go to there, you will see a lot about what they're doing. And thank you so much for coming in, Mick.
Thank you so very much, Chad, for having us. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. What energy. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming down here to visit us in the studios. And we'd love to have you again.
We'll be back.
All right. We'll